Colossians chapter 3. It's on, right?
Okay.
Yes. Poor Joe looks at me and he goes, "Preacher, you got to be smarter in what you're working with, you know. You got to remember to turn the button on." Amen. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, and again, this is When Peace Rules, part 2. When Peace Rules, part 2. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, and it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And for those taking the preaching and preparation class, this is called a textual message. Amen? For others, you don't really care. But if you're preaching out of one verse, and using that as our springboard, and that's verse 15, and it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And last week we looked at the fact that it's a great possession. It's the peace of God, and we spent time looking at the fact that without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have peace with God. And you can only have the peace of God if you have peace with God. And if you're saved, you all have peace with God. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but now you've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen? And we spent time looking at that. We won't go back to Romans chapter 5. And then we talked about from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Be ye careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So it's a peace. When you have the peace of God, it passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense to the world. When the world goes through something, they want to blame somebody. And they've got to be upset about it. And the thing is, a Christian, you can understand that the trial of your faith being found more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire. And we spent time looking at that, okay? It's a peace that the world cannot give. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, Jesus said, "My peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world can't give that. So we looked at that. That's a great possession. If you're saved, it's a great possession for you. Then the second thing we looked at out of Colossians 3:15 is that it's a gracious calling. It's a great possession, but it's also a gracious calling because it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are" what? "To which also ye are called." It's a great calling. And we went to Ephesians chapter 4 and went down through verses 1 through 6 in Ephesians chapter 4. We're trying to just bring you back into mind with this. Okay, it's "to which ye are called," and it says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Okay, so you have that, and it continues on, "For there is one body, one Spirit, as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." You're called unto that. You're called of God. The call of God also brings about a unity in the Spirit. Okay, one thing we find, there's so much going on today in the guise of Christendom that has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit never violates the Word of God. Okay? It's a gracious calling. You've been called to that. We also looked at the fact that it's a blessed rule. It's a blessed rule. And it says there, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called, and in one body, and be ye thankful. It's let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Any competition, any warfare, any relationship, any game, if it's going to be done God's way, it's going to be done decently in order. One of the problems we have with the war on terrorism is terrorists don't know any rules. America has always tried to hold itself to the Geneva Convention, okay, and trying to deal with certain things, and now we don't even understand what's happening with Israel because there's too many lies that have been pushed in that by the terrorists. And so what I want you to say with this is there's a rule. It's a blessed rule. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for you're meek and lowly in heart, and ye find rest unto your souls. Okay, and I want to ask, I asked you last week, who rules in your heart? And is the rules that you're under bringing trouble to your heart? If they are, then you're following the wrong set of rules. Pastor Kenny and I spend a lot of time counseling. So many times, you know what we're dealing with? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know how to play by the rules that God has given them. And God's a God of order. He is not the author of confusion. And when there's confusion, that's not of God. Okay, and so you got to understand that. There is a blessed rule you're to live by if you want peace to rule in your heart. And you can't look at the way the world plays the game. And you say, we're not playing. This is life or death. Yeah, it is. But you know what? The world rulers, the leaders, the unsaved, they are playing a deadly game. Okay? And what it comes down to is who rules who. And we need to know that as a child of God, if we want that peace of God to rule in our hearts, we have to let the Lord rule in our hearts. You deal with people and they say, I can't. I just can't. They believe they have an inability. Then you have other people say, I won't. That's not inability, that's unavailability. I won't. I don't care what God says. I won't do that. I'm going to do this. I feel, and I want to be honest to you, you know what? God's not concerned with your feelings. Your emotions change. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. So you have I can't. That's the inability to accomplish, and you think it's in your own strength. And then there's the unavailability, I won't. And then there is the ability that God gives you. Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not in your strength, because God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. The Apostle Paul himself said, I rather glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So quit looking at yourself and what you can't do. Look at the one you're supposed to and obey. And he'll carry you through with that. The next thing I want you to see with this, back in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to try to get you out of here by 8:30, okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's a simple condition. Pastor Kenny and Sam Gipp talked about it. They've talked about there are unconditional promises in the Word of God, and there are conditional promises in the Word of God. And here it says, let the Word of Christ, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's conditional promises. It's conditioned to an agreement. Okay? You want peace to rule in your heart, you need to understand. Jesus says, "My peace," I've already quoted it, my peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The promise is given. The condition is you have to let. Okay, it's a conditional promise. Do you realize the sun can rise outside? But I tease my grandson, Derek. He's a typical teenager. He's studying in his room, and he's got the light on, but he's got these heavy room darkening curtains that if he's not doing his, he's working hard at schoolwork. You can knock on his door, you can walk in, that kid's working, his computer's there, that the books are out and he's working, but those drapes are closed. And you know what? The sun won't shine in his room unless he lets it come into his room. You understand what I mean? Well, you know what? The Son of God won't shine in your heart unless you let him into your heart. It's a conditional promise. It says, let the peace of God rule. Some people love being an Eeyore. You know, I once thought something was going to turn out well, but I was right, it didn't. Nothing ever goes right for me. I lost my tail. And when they went to pin it on, they shoved the needle in my nose. We're Eeyores so many times. You know, you can't be a Tigger who's bouncing around without any understanding, okay? But you're not supposed to be an Eeyore. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, how do you do that? You have to let him in. Okay, Jesus in John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. Okay, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. I could quote it for you, but I want you to read it with me. It is not a salvation verse. It gets used that way many times. Okay, but it's not specifically about salvation. You know, we say the Holy Spirit, God's knocking on the door of your heart, and you need to open it up and let Jesus in for you to get saved. He's talking to the Laodicean church. That's the age we live in. That's the church age we are in right now. And he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You know what you have to do? You have to let him in, but then it's a neat thing. I encourage you sometime just to look at the word behold. Do you even know what it means? Behold. Fix your eyes upon this. There's going to be a wedding in June. And this beautiful young girl is going to walk in the back of this church, and there's going to be this unworthy young man up front. Okay? And he's going to, when she walks through, and there's going to be all these people around, and all of a sudden, his eyes are going to what? Fix upon her. It makes no more difference what else goes on about that time. Okay? If he loves her as he's you know what God says? He beholds us. If you're saved tonight, you are part of the body of Christ. You are part of the bride of Christ. And Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Look for me. If you want the peace of God to rule in your heart, are you looking for Jesus to come into your heart in that area that is weighing you down and holding you down? Behold, to fix the eye upon, to see with attention, to direct the eyes to that object. I used to drive Judy crazy, okay, and if Mike Viskin was here, it'd bother him. I used to sing to her, I only have eyes for you, dear. Okay, and she'd go, oh. That's what it means to behold. You know what we don't do? We lose sight of the Savior in our life. We lose sight of the Master in our lives. We lose sight of the Lord in our lives. Okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's a reference back to the Hall of Fame of Faith, okay? Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You physically don't see it, so you're supposed to see it through the eyes of faith, and it gives you a whole listing of these who went forward in faith, and it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. But you don't understand. God can't love me. I can't let go. I've let go of that. I'm so broken. God can't fix me. Behold him. The weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I had a chance, I'm talking with my son-in-law. He had the privilege of a man he's been witnessing to for 1 year, or about a year and a half, that he works with. And he kept witnessing to him, and they've been at these, have to go to these tournaments. The kids are competing in the gymnastics, and they had to share a hotel room, and this man's gone through horrible pain. His daughter died because of doing one of those stupid things that the kids in a youth group did, and it's called the pass-out game or the knockout game. And she didn't do it right when she got home, and she hung herself. And the rope did, or the scarf didn't let loose like it's supposed to. They tried to pass out, and then you fall down, and you're okay. The parents came home, and they found her. She was going to a youth group. The man came from the Roman. He was a Roman Catholic. He's been angry at God, blaming God for everything. He's been asking Jake all these questions, and Jake, you know, he's finally talking to him, and he goes, "Look at Jake. Look at everything you've gone through and what your wife is going through, and she's lost her leg and she's got cancer and she's done this, this, and this, and you've had this issue and that issue, and you still rejoice about God? How can you?" Well, between Isaiah 53 and Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The fact that Jesus would weep, the fact that God would care, and that if it hurt him as her physical father, how much it hurts the heavenly Father in his great love. And when he could see that the Father cared, and he could see that the Savior cared, and he had heard, because his daughter was going to a youth group. That's not something they normally do in Roman Catholic churches, okay? She was at a Christian youth group. They did stupid things. She tried to do it at home. He prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. He knows one day he'll see his daughter again. But you know what he had to do? He had to behold the suffering Savior. And he had to behold the love of God for him to be able to understand the need of salvation. See, on some have compassion making a difference. Amen? Jake was on cloud nine. I talked to him Monday about it. He's still on cloud nine, and that's a good thing. So I talked to him. He says, now you had the fun part. Now you need to disciple him. That's where the work sets in. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Behold. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the beginning of the chapter that we pulled our text out of. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. You know what you need to behold? You need to look at things above. You need to look at eternal things, not temporal things. See, it's a simple condition. You have to let him. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The verses previous to that tells you what the works of the flesh are. But watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay? When you let God's peace rule in your heart, you know what's going to be part of you? Some of the other fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's the love of the things of this world. See, we're the love, the things above. The love, the things God loves. And to use the things of this world, not to love the things of this world and use the souls that we come in contact with. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, if you're saved, where does the Spirit indwell you? Let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. See, I told you, it's let, that simple condition. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It's a simple condition. Will you let the sunshine in? Will you let it in? And the last thing from our text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be what? Be ye thankful. It's a good result. You ever notice, okay, be careful for nothing. I'm going back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You ever thank God that he's allowed in your life the things that you're praying about and don't know how it's going to work out? And it says in thankful. You see what I mean? If you can be thankful about it, you won't be so overwrought with the anxiety about it. Because you're going to start seeing it because you've allowed God to come into that. Okay, so you're told to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give what? Thanks. When people say, I don't know what the specific will of God is for my life. Well, the general will of God for every believer is for you to be thankful. And why do you expect him to reveal the specific will for your life if you're not thankful for the general will in your life? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. It's a good result. You know, if you be thankful, peace comes. And when peace comes, you become more thankful. An attitude of gratitude. You say, well, that's just a quick saying. No, you can choose. So many people live half-empty lives. Okay. Now we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That's not even half empty, that's full. You know, the Apostle Paul in his suffering, he said, I am full. Okay, if you go to the end of the book of Philippians, you find, and he tells you, he has need of what? The guy's about going to be, he's going to be killed. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. But he had this promise because he set his affections on things above and not on this earth. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So if you live your life allowing him to come into the areas of your life that you struggle with, that's what it means. I stand and knock at the door of your heart, that thing you're struggling with, that thing you don't want anybody else to know about, that thing that's keeping you from having that peace that you need. He says, let me into that. Have relationship, have fellowship with me there. When you do that, I'll carry that for you. You just follow me. And ultimately, you know what he says? Come up hither. Be ye thankful. God wants us to live our lives in such a way that the peace of God rules in our hearts. You know, you can be sorrowful and have the peace of God rule in your heart. You can be quiet and have the peace of God rule in your heart. Because peace and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is based off the circumstances around you. Peace is based off the relationship within you. So tonight, if it's getting hard, guess what? The time of our departure is at hand. Amen? And all God's people said, good night and God bless.